And you're listening to the Martinez Perspective. White fucking power Wednesday. How the hell you doing tonight, folks? Hope you're doing well. Hope you're all doing fantastic. I know you've been waiting all day long for this stream, haven't you? Well, I'm here as usual. Not a minute late, folks. Thank you for tuning in. We're live on Odyssey. Yet again, talking some white power. You having a white power day? Are you having a white power Wednesday and a white power week? I'm having a white power day every day of the goddamn week, ladies and gentlemen. Pumping that iron a couple hours ago. Pumping that white power iron. Get ripped, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing over there in the chat room, man? You want to send me a super chat? Check in the description box there. Three options for you. Remember, subscribe to me on gab.com. You can find me doing a little shit posting, man. You know, gotta do a little meme posting and shit posting. MartinezPerspective.net if you want to get all my streams for free, video and audio format. Totally for your enjoyment, folks. Alright. We are moving. Nice little tune there, by the way. It's called Keep in Mind by Zurius featuring Hyrith. Pretty good tune. I played that one before. I usually try to bring a new tune every stream, but sometimes I can't do it, man. How y'all doing, man? What's good in the hood? Yes. So let's get this stream going. Let's get it started. Let's start out with some memes. Some memes. I'm always posting some good ones on Telegram. Let's see this one here. We got a little negro. Little negro is having a hard time at the shopping center. The automatic sink refuses to dispense water because he's a nigga. Have a look. Well, even the automatic sink understands what's going on, right? See, this is a segregated bathroom. It's a whites-only bathroom, and even the sinks are programmed to reject the Negro. That's funny, ain't it? Well, they say that AI, artificial intelligence, is very, very racist. It can tell. It can spot the racial differences. Good old Rick. Rick rolling them, right? Ah, nigga. He said it, folks. He said it. You're right, nigga. Boom. Mr. Rick over here, he be a racist and shit, man. What do we got here? Whoa! Take a fall, Shaniqua. She took a little tumble off the fucking cliff. What a fat lard ass. Are these people retarded? Putting a lard ass like that on one of these fucking zip lines? Are you crazy? Come on, Shaniqua, get going. Boom! Dude, she probably fucking died. Like, that's a real cliff right there. Maybe that's a body of water or something, but she's definitely gonna be sinking. Well, life is cheap if you're black. We got this picture from a video. I might play this video later, but it shows this fat retard right here, who's a mongoloid Putin shill from Australia. He calls himself the Aussie Cossack, and he looks like a fucking Mongolian. Like, he's clearly like race mixed, and he's just like this rabid Putinist who goes around Australia shilling for Putin. It's like there's numerous statements the guy made where he says, like, I'm in an enemy state and I'm able to, like, push the Russian government's line here in the enemy state. There's some serious fifth column shit going on here, folks. I mean, you got these Syrians. These Syrians are pathetic, but so it's like, it's very interesting to me. You look at this crowd here, and you have a bunch of random foreigners in Australia. They've chosen to leave their countries of origin, right? This fat retard left Russia. He didn't want to stay in Russia. He prefers Australia, yet he supposedly is in love with Putin. Well, go back to Russia, you fucking idiot. What are you doing in Australia? Oh, you're a fifth columnist, yeah. And then you got these Syrians. I've seen these Syrians, man. They come out of the woodwork during, like, that whole Syrian civil war, right? In Australia, you got, like, the Syrian girl who's a complete, like, LARPing ethot who refuses to go back to her own country, refuses to go fight for her own country, but she can go out at a protest rally in Australia, right? If these people are so enamored with their own country, then go back. What the hell are you doing in Australia? What the hell are you doing in the white man's land? Oh, we get it. You want to be a parasite off the white man while your loyalties are with your home country. We get it. It's the same with all these Dindus, man, whether it's Palestinians, Syrians, Lebanese, you know, these fucking Hezbollah people. All these people are attached to their foreign country and foreign organizations and foreign ideologies, and yet they're in a white country and they stay put and they refuse to go fight for their country. They refuse to go back to their countries. Very typical, isn't it? You know, it's like, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? You have like all these other groups like Kurds. Dude, there have been videos from Germany where you have Kurds and Turks literally fighting in the streets. You got like fucking Chechen gangs in France. All these weird LARPing foreign people, and they're dragging their dogfights into the West. You got Jews and Palestinians dragging their dogfights in the West, trying to suck us into it on either side of it, whether it's for Zionists or for Palestinians. They want to suck your ass into their fight and make you take a side, white man. You better side with us. You better take our side. We're the good guys, man. How about you take your big fat Semitic asses back to the sand pit where you came from? But we know that won't happen, right? Never forget the 6 million calories. Starving Jew in Dachau. Yeah, you're really starving to death there, big Jew boy. You're having a very difficult time there in these death camps. I'm sure he moved through all the camps. I'm sure he visited probably 5 camps. But it is all death and destruction, right? Oh, we got these faggots. Absolute cringe. This is the cringiest shit I've ever seen. This is the conference of these tanky weirdos who, you know, a fire has been lit under their ass because of this Russian shit, right? They think they have new purpose. Their cause of global communism has been rejuvenated behind this Russian invasion. And they're fucking LARPing. This is in the United States.
Look, I wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for a lot of really awesome Jewish communists, you know, who taught me Marxism, yeah, who engaged with me, who patiently helped me develop politically. I am a student of Francis Dost.
Who patiently helped me develop politically, man. I'm just so brilliant, man. Like, my Marxist philosophy is so great. I've just developed as a politician, and I'm ready to save the world, man. Bring workers' revolution.
Still, who is Jewish? I am a student of Sam Marcy, who is Jewish.
You work for Jews.
A lot of Jewish communists.
You work for Jewish communists.
Paul Peter Coffin, who is Jewish, of Jewish heritage.
Well, at least he's admitting it, right? At least he's admitting it.
I wouldn't be where I am if it weren't for a lot of really awesome Jewish communists, you know.
Coming right out with it. I wouldn't be where I am without the Jewish communists who, you know, browbeat me with this crap. Who fucking railroaded this shit down your throat. And of course, I played the clip of George Galloway, who spoke at his conference. And George Galloway said the same thing. George Galloway, in a different clip, he said that the good Jews are the Marxist Jews. The good Jews is Marx and Trotsky and all the Jewish communists like Joe Slovo and Ronnie Kasrils, who helped overthrow the apartheid government in South Africa, which that little nigger was involved with. That little midget, that little race-mixing midget, was involved in overthrowing the apartheid government in South Africa because he hates more than anything. What does he hate? White people. They all do. They all do. Never fails, folks. They're all united in their hatred of the West, their hatred of the white race. because they harbor envy that whites are better than them. And if they are white, the reason that they hate the white race is because they think that they don't square up. They've probably, in most of these cases, I guarantee you, in most of the cases where you have self-hating white people, these people have engaged in the primordial sin of race mixing. It's not a coincidence that the staunchest anti-racists who happen to be white have a non-white partner, a non-white spouse, non-white children. Is it a coincidence, folks? No, they are playing out their own personal revenge fantasy. So they, you know, they've been indoctrinated to hate whites through Marxist ideology, but it carries over into personal life. Someone like George Galloway, he's got three non-white wives, mixed-race children. It's almost in his genetic interest now to betray the white race because he wants his mutt offspring to survive and to be accepted and to thrive and to be privileged. And so he's going to get on that anti-white team. He's going to get on the anti-white bandwagon because he has a genetic interest, familial interest to do so. Always the fucking case with these people, man. Let's check out a few stories here. We got, this is pretty fucking funny. Russian McDonald's fan chains himself to the eatery in attempt to prevent closing. A Russian man was not loving it that McDonald's was about to shutter its stores in the country amid the invasion of Ukraine. So he chained himself to one of its eateries in Moscow in a last-ditch attempt to keep it open. The Golden Arches fan, identified as Luka Savranov, was filmed staging his protest hours before the burger joint was set to close it temporarily its 850 restaurants in Russia. "Closing down is an act of hostility against me and my fellow citizens." This is fucking hilarious. This is a meme, folks. "This is an act of hostility. Let me eat. Let me eat the McDonald's, folks." How embarrassing, man. He reportedly yelled as customers flocked inside to grab their last Big Macs. He doesn't give a damn about the war. He doesn't give a shit about that war going on. He's just like, fuck it, give me my Big Mac. This is the real war. You're waging a war on my fucking diet right here. My McDonald's diet. Man, oh man, these people. Some people are saying, oh yeah, this is a good thing. They're shutting down all the McDonald's and Coca-Cola and everything. I mean, they're just gonna replace it with some other thing, right? It's not like hamburgers are gonna go away anytime soon over there. It just won't be shitty McDonald's hamburgers. Ukrainian 18-year-old refugee is gang raped by two men on board German hotel ship used to house people fleeing war. Gang raped by two men on board a German hotel ship. The woman was reportedly assaulted by two men, one after the other on the Oscar Wilde hotel ship. The alleged assailants are from Iraq and Nigeria, but also hold Ukrainian citizenship. Alongside paying guests, more than 25 refugees were staying in the hotel ship at the time of the alleged incident after fleeing the brutal invasion of Ukraine. 3 million people, including 1 million children, have fled Ukraine for other states. Almost entirely women and children make up the number who are fleeing across the borders. Yeah, of course, because they're actually real refugees. They're not these fucking phonies, these African invader economic migrants. Right? It's like these African, Moroccan, Tunisian invaders, they get on boats and say, we're refugees, man. We're fleeing war zones, man. No, you're not. Most of those African countries have conscription. You'd be fucking conscripted if there were actually a war going on. They're fleeing poverty, yes. Poverty that is their own doing, is their own creation. And they're trying to use white people's countries to lift themselves up, right? It's at least the second alleged rape of a teenage Ukrainian refugee after a man was arrested in Poland last week on suspicion of assaulting a 19-year-old. Yeah, expect more of this. Expect more rapes. More abuse, more sexual abuse. What's with these people? It's these Muslims, man. These Muslims, when they see white women, they go apeshit. They go apeshit. Because white women are actually attractive in comparison with their own women, right? They see a white woman, they're like, whoa. And they can't hold it in, these savages. They just rapey, rapey, rapey. And white women, feminist, libtard white women, continue to vote for it, continue to support the invasion, continue to hold up their signs, refugees welcome, despite getting raped, despite getting attacked. Because they just have all that altruism just spilling out of them. Pathological altruism. Yeah. Ukrainians are actually decent refugees. Ukrainians are white. Ukrainians are civilized people. And so that's why these Eastern European countries have opened the doors and said, we'll let you in. You're white. You're Christian. You're compatible with our culture. You're compatible with our civilization. Now, these people are probably not going to stay there. That's the difference between white refugees and brown and black refugees, is that white refugees actually are real refugees. And they don't intend to stay in these countries. They want to go home. Of course they do. And you'll see that they will follow through on their promise and go home once the war is over. They don't want to stay there. They were living fine in their country until Putin invaded. But it's the complete opposite with these brown refugees, these fake refugees. Is they come with the intention of staying. They're not real refugees, so they're not actually fleeing a war zone. They're invaders and economic migrants, and so their intention is to stay. Their intention is to come, get on your welfare, suck up the resources of your state as much as they can, and then park themselves permanently in your country. That's their intention all along. They're not refugees, they're economic migrants. They don't intend to go home. You think these Africans intend to go back to their countries? They would rather die than go back. They'll probably kill themselves if they get caught for deportation. Seeing it all, man. I've got an interesting story here. 14 private jets from Russia land in Israel in the last 10 days as Israel avoids sanctioning oligarchs. So a huge percentage of the oligarchs in Russia are Jewish, if you didn't know. And of course, like rats on a sinking ship, They're going to Israel. Their economy is in tatters because of the sanctions. All the major banks and corporations in Russia, which these people control, are going under, dude. So they're off to Israel. Maybe that's the plan all along. Maybe that is the grand scheme. Maybe this really is controlled from both sides. Who the fuck knows? I can't say for sure, but you know, there is this kind of Zionist impulse and agenda to convince all Jews to go to Israel, right? That's the ultimate dream of Zionism, is to ingather all of the Jews in Israel. So I'm sure you saw tons of Jews in Ukraine left, I believe, and probably have gone to Israel. And many Russian Jews are going to leave as well and go to Israel. I guess then all that's left would be the American and Western European and Canadian Jews. Well, yeah, go to Israel. All of you. Every last one of you. Go to Israel. That's where you belong. You don't belong in our countries, right? The report cited a broadcast by Israel's Channel 12, which said that a number of rented private planes were coming from Russia and were landing in Israel. The plane's owners were unidentified, and this has led to speculation that oligarchs may be looking at ways to slip around sanctions. Ben-Gurion Airport did not respond to any request. Sanctions have ramped up against oligarchs amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which started on February 24th. The U.S. and EU sanctions on Friday that they were taking further steps to isolate Russia from the global financial system. The UK, among others, recently sanctioned seven more Russian oligarchs, including Roman Abramovich. Other oligarchs have previously been sanctioned, including Gennady Timchenko, Boris Rotenberg, and Igor Rotenberg. Those two were the best friends of Putin. They are his judo sparring partners. They've benefited tremendously from their ties to Putin. Yeah, so I guess they're all headed to Zion. Headed up to Zion, folks. This is a very strange situation, isn't it? It's like you kind of have like Western Zog governments at war with Eastern Zog governments, right? Jew versus Jew. You see that, you really do. And it shows that there's not total conformity when it comes to the these issues. There's not. Like, you know, these Jews in the American government, like Anthony Blinken, Victoria Nuland, they support these sanctions. There was even, I think Anthony Blinken even sanctioned, he sanctioned Igor Kolomoisky, that Jew in Ukraine, over corruption. So, yeah, there is a bit of, you know, turmoil within the ranks there. They're not all on the same team. Depends what country they're in. Right? You saw the Jews in Russia sided with Russia. The Jews in Ukraine sided with Ukraine. You know, the Jews in, I guess, America, most of them, or at least in the U.S. government, will side with Ukraine just because that's the geopolitical alignment. Whereas then Israel, you had Naftali Bennett go and meet with Putin. Playing all sides and every side. So that they can get a win out of it, folks. They always end up coming out on top. You can bet your bottom dollar there's almost zero Jews in the Russian army and the Ukrainian army fighting in this war. Not very many. There might be a couple. There might be just a couple of them, man. But they don't tend... The only army that Jews tend to fight in is the Israeli army. That's an army they're willing to die for. I wonder why that is. This is an interesting article right here. So this came out in Russia Today. And it's basically a condemnation of a different Russian shill type website called Russia Insider, which is run by a guy named Charles Bausman, who we're going to look at a bit later. And he's got some very interesting connections to the alt-right in America. But what's interesting about this article is that it basically shot down these Putin-tards in the dissident right itself. So Russia Today published this article condemning these pro-Putinists in the dissident right and saying they're basically wrong. It says, an outrageous anti-Semitic tirade on an American pro-Russia blog site proves that the inability to properly understand Russia often extends to Westerners who think they are supporting the country. Since its inception, there have been numerous reasons to laugh at Russia Insider. There's the way it brazenly steals content from professional news outlets and repackages it with a twist, not to mention the pseudo-messianic zeal of its founders displayed in the initial fundraising videos. But it's not funny anymore. In the beginning, RI seemed semi-promising and many gave it the benefit of the doubt because given the Putin derangement virus which has infected Western media, there are very few outlets these days for journalists and commentators willing to be balanced in their coverage of Russia. Indeed, those perceived as Russia Verstetter, even if that usually means simply realistic and honest in their coverage, are more or less blacklisted in the mainstream press. Thus, writers who disengage from RI after the very early days bear no responsibility for what it evolved into years later, which is quite clearly an alt-right website opportunistically surfing the wave of post-Donald Trump legitimacy granted to questionable ideology. Except it still purports to have a Russian twist, and many poorly informed observers fail to understand it's not associated with the country in any official way. RI is an American entity based in Greenwich, Connecticut. This is despite incorrect assertions that it was Russian. Yeah, it's run by Charles Bausman, who's an American, who's married to a Russian woman. We're going to see this later. As a result, we have a situation where a bunch of Westerners are harming Russia by using the country's name to promote an agenda which isn't part of the Russian discourse. And this is a phenomenon displayed in behavior of many zealots who support, quote, on Russia as keyboard warriors, crusaders, but don't understand the place in reality. Instead, they're projecting their own issues with their homelands onto this country and its leaders. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the God's honest truth, folks? Says, American and European far-rightists think that because Vladimir Putin has restored Russia as a strong and sovereign state, he's somehow aligned with their beliefs and is on some kind of mission from God to save white Christianity. But he's not. Because Russia may well be the most ethnically and religiously diverse country in Europe, and Putin's own cabinets have included a smorgasbord of Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, in addition to Christians and agnostics, who form the largest Russian belief categories. Sure, Putin restored prominence to the Orthodox faith and identifies as a believer, but that's a cultural thing rooted in hundreds of years of Russian history. And he's not attempting to restore the official state religion of the Tsarist period, nor has he publicly considered banning abortion or outlawing homosexual relations, measures the church has frequently called for. Instead, the Russian president has personally attended the opening of Russia's largest mosque and has been described in a Reuters article as the closest thing Israel has ever had to a friend in Moscow. While Russia's chief rabbi, Viral Azar, says Putin's on her side, he even told the Lamed FSU how Putin was the first president to publicly speak out against anti-Semitism and did the most for the Jews. There is no institutional anti-Semitism in Russia. The attitude towards the Jews in Russia is excellent. Russia's very complex country by any standards. In the southwest, Cossacks and Armenians live side by side and closer to the Caspian Sea. Many republics are majority Muslim. East of Lake Baikal, shamans can be found, and further towards the Pacific Ocean, Koreans form a large community. According to the World Jewish Congress, Moscow and St. Petersburg alone have around 300,000 Jewish residents, which is not far off from rates of Britain and France as a whole, and doesn't include other regions of Russia. It says here, that's why the anti-Semitic rantings of RI's editor Charles Bosman are so tragic and betray his utter ignorance of the country where he once lived. Starting from the premise, it's time to drop the Jew taboo. He slanders the like of Masha Gessen and Applebaum and Giuliani, plus David Remick, David Frum, Bill Kristol, Krauthammer, by the dint of their heritage. He also attacks Edward Lucas for having an allegedly Jewish granduncle, as if that were relevant, because once again, Bosman is projecting his own Western-centric prejudices onto Russia. And let's be clear, Bosman's hang-ups are all about his attitude to America and do not represent what Russians think or feel. He goes on to name some Jews in Russia. Yeah, this is it. This explains all of it. Right? These are basically... these are people who have some kind of Russian connection or Russian fetish. And then they just embellish. They project onto the country and onto Putin what they want to be there. But it's not actually there. And they just ignore any evidence to the contrary. That seems to be the modus operandi, isn't it? Take sound bites, clips here and there. Spin it, ignore other sound bites and clips that would refute it. But what is behind this, right? I remember seeing this website pop up, Russia Insider. It's just an attempt, basically, to convince the far right, convince white nationalists to jump on board this Putin worship. And there are a number of voices that have come out, well, that really have been around for a long time. And they all have these weird, dubious connections to Dugin or to Russia itself, right? Isn't that strange? That the people pushing this, like this guy, you know, like have direct links to the country? Could it be that they're on a mission to deceive you, folks? Could it be that they have been paid to do this? To build up support for Putin from all angles? Right? You have websites like this that push this angle, but then you have left-wing websites, and you have these communists and tankies who push it from their angle. They're all building this cacophony of support for Eurasianism and Putinism. But this is an interesting article right here. We're going to look at this guy, Bosman, pro-Putin blogger, moved to Lancaster. This is him. I've seen this guy. He's been on Red Ice Radio. He was promoted big time by these alt-righters back in the day. And he seems to have this kind of Putinist agenda to try to slip in like this Putin worship and this Putin nonsense. You know, embellished, exaggerated mythology that Putin will save you, goy. It's just like the Trump worship. There's no coincidence that these people, you know, are almost hand in hand with the Trump movement, the Trump worshippers, right? And now that Trump is gone, they've just swapped out Trump for Putin. And of course, they play into the Q-tard narratives. They jump on all of it. They're like just some kind of opportunist mixed in with subversion. It's very weird. But look at this connection. This was the most interesting thing. It's said here, Bosman's property, last year, hosted a group of white nationalists who were forming a new political party. Although initially denying it, Bosman admitted earlier this month that his barn on Millersville Pike in Lancaster Township was the site of an August 2020 rally where a group called the National Justice Party announced its formation, saying it would stand for this, such as combating the international Jewish oligarchy, ensuring America retained a white majority forever. So this is a direct link between Bosman and the National Justice Party, who are hardcore Putinist shills, right? You've seen them. Go look at their telegrams. They've been shilling for this war since day one. Hardcore, just unrepentant, unflinching shilling for this war. And they're tied directly to this guy, Bosman. Bosman spent much of his adult life living and working in Europe, mainly in Russia, including working as a businessman in Russia's agricultural sector. In 2014, he founded an online publication called Russia Insider, launching a second career as a media entrepreneur. From its start, Russia Insider was aimed at delivering pro-Russia coverage to Western audiences, starting with its defense of Russia's 2014 seizure of Crimea from Ukraine. Articles on the site attempted to make the case that America's leaders were blinded by hatred of the Russian government, to the point they were misleading Americans about the nation's commonalities. 2018, the U.S. State Department on Rising Anti-Semitism in Russia described Bosman's Russia Insider as linked to pro-government oligarchs. Reporting from The Interpreter, an online publication covering Russia's government and foreign policy, showed this: he sought funding for Russia Insider from Russian oligarch Konstantin Malofeev, who has ties to the European far right. Well, there it is. Konstantin Malofeev. This is the guy. I believe this is the guy who funds Alexander Dugin. Let me look that up right now. Let's confirm this right now. I'm pretty sure this is the guy who funds Dugin. And that would be quite an interesting connection, right? The Russian billionaire carrying out Putin's will across Europe, he finances what the Kremlin can't. He's established links with fringe nationalist parties in Europe. One Russian name that consistently emerges in connection with Europe's far-right and far-left nationalist movements is Konstantin Malofeev, a wealthy Orthodox businessman and Russian ultra-nationalist, sometimes called Putin's Soros. He made his fortune in private equity, now runs Russia's largest charity. He's also president of Katahan, a right-wing think tank, and started his own television station, Tsargrad TV, a platform for figures like Alex Jones and Alexander Dugin, a man known as Putin's Rasputin, as well as a member of Katahan's supervisory board. Malofeev's a traditionalist, much like Dugin, devout practicing the Orthodox faith. There it is, folks. A direct tie between Malofeev and Dugin. And he was the guy that was probably provided some funding for Russia Insider, which is linked to National Justice Party. I think we've established a direct pipeline of all of these characters, haven't we? Catahan is Dugan's think tank. Let me pull that up right now.
Dugan, man, it's Dugan.
Oh, it's just Schizo, Goy. You're just a schizo, man. Yeah, Catahan. Intimate think tank organization consisting of international network of people on geopolitics, blah, blah, blah. It's totally, this is Dugan's outfit, 100%. Russia ran multipolar world, fourth political theory. Yeah, this is a Duganite think tank, 100% connected to Dugan. What else does it say here? As a believer in the Russian Empire and culture and religious level, Malafeu's goals align with those of some held by Europe's fringe parties. Both would like to see the weakening of the European Union. 2014, Malafeu attended a Vienna-based conference for Europe's far-right parties, also in attendance for Marine Le Pen, who openly supports Putin and accepted 9 million euros in Russian-backed loans in 2014, and Austria's Heinz Christian Strache, leader of the Freedom Party. Le Pen spoke at an anti-LGBT roundtable hosted by Malafeu's charity. Says Malafeu's ties to the American religious right extend beyond just Brown. He also hired former Fox News employee and devout Catholic Jan Hanek to help launch SARSGRAD TV. In addition to far right, he also dabbles in far left politics. 2014, Russian hacking collective called Shaltai Boltai released a trove of emails between Georgi Gavrish, an associate of the right-wing philosopher Dugan, and Syriza officials, in which they discussed efforts by Malafeu and Dugan to identify political parties in Greece with Russian sympathies. Nikos Kotsiev, Greece's Minister of Foreign Affairs and a party member, is personally close to Dugan. In 2013, Kostias was a professor at the University of Piraeus and invited Dugan to a speech on international politics and the Eurasianist vision. Malafeu's involvement in Russia's imperial ambitions and aspirations to weaken the European Union precede the current alliances with fringe movements. Malafeu has been identified by Ukrainian security services as a key funder of the Russian separatist movement, beginning in 2014. Alexei Borodai, Russian citizen and former prime minister of the Russian-backed Ukrainian separatist state, the Donetsk People's Republic, is a friend of Malafeu's and previously worked as his public relations consultant. Malafeu is also the former employer of Igor Gherkin, a former commander of pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine, who the Ukrainian government accused of being a Russian agent and war criminal. Ukrainian security services claim they intercepted recording of Strelkov informing Malafeu about killing a high-ranking Ukrainian counterterrorism official. Malafeu is allegedly heard on the tape encouraging Strelkov to pursue the military operation in Slavyansk without hesitation. Well, ain't that something, folks? I think we're kind of putting the pieces of the puzzle together, aren't we? So you wonder why there's all this pro-Putinist shilling going on in the dissident right, in the dissident media. Well, here's your guy funding it, right? Bosman published an essay, "It's Time to Drop the Jew Taboo," that drew international backlash, blah, blah, blah. The essay drew a rebuke on Russia Today, who disavowed him. We read that article. Let's see here. 10 months after publishing his anti-Semitic essay, Bosman purchased a house in West Chestnut Street in the city for $440,000. In early 2020, he purchased a nearly 5-acre property in Millersville Pike in Lancaster Township for $450,000. That parcel, which includes a historic barn, a house that sits on property that once belonged to one of Bosman's ancestors in Abbott's subdivision. This barn was the site of the National Justice Party's August 15th, 2020 meeting. It has also been at various times the address for William Von Dees, a former leader in the white supremacist group Identity Europa. Norman Trey Garrison, the former editor of the Lancaster Patriot, whom LNP Lancaster Online reported last year, was host of a white nationalist podcast and is currently the home of Greg Conte, a founding member of the National Justice Party. Well, we have some serious tie-ins, folks. Are these people being paid by Konstantin Malefeev through Bosman? Is he the conduit here? Would explain their stance, wouldn't it? Would explain their denial of the truths that Putin is not pro-white. There's some money going on, folks. There's some dirty fucking cash going on here. It's all schizo. It's all in your head, Goy. In October 2020, the SPLC published a report describing Bosman's ties to white nationalists, his history of white writing and promoting pro-Putin propaganda, and his courtship of Russian oligarchs to fund his media properties. The report also explicitly linked Bosman's website to Garrison's, whose blog shared computer code with Bosman's sites and a server operated by a Russia-based web development contractor. Well, well, well. In the days after the January 6th riot, Bosman collaborated with a Russian news program on a report about American politics and the attack on the U.S. Capitol by pro-Trump rioters. He also left the country to Moscow. Bosman and his family have been living in Moscow since mid-January. Yeah, so he's married to a Russian woman, it says here. Let's see. Here it says, Charles Bosman, editor of Russia Insider, attends a Russia Today conference in Moscow in 2015. Well, 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 there we go. Just so happens that all of these people are tied to Russia Today. Let's see. Talks about his wife in here. Of course, this website is just left-wing. It's got its own bullshit left-wing slant. Obviously, the SPLC is gay, but they do talk about his wife. He met his wife, woman of Serbian descent, during collegiate study abroad in Moscow. Well, well, well. It says, under a pseudonym, Giebert, who's this guy called Matthew Giebert, who's tied in with the NJP people, says, under a pseudonym, Giebert once wrote an article for a white nationalist publication suggesting that whites should form a strategic alliance with Russians along racial lines. Shady funding of a home. Yeah, where's he getting $500,000 to buy these homes, right? These houses. Russia Insider was founded in 2014, the same year Russia attacked Ukraine. Malefeev is fingered as a financial link between so-called rebels in Ukraine and Moscow. Russia was feeling embattled by the Western press because most people were not big fans of Russia, what was doing in Ukraine. Then here comes Russia Insider, where if your takes are too extreme for Kremlin-controlled Russia Today, that's where you can get them published. Osmond spoke to Alex Jones in 2019 while traveling with Russian TV channel Russia One, according to a post on his website. Osmond told Jones he grew up in Russia because his father was the head of the Moscow Bureau of the Associated Press. He said after years of making Russia his home, he moved from being a businessman to producing his propaganda website because he wanted to present a more positive vision of Russian military conflicts to Americans. Oh, so the guy's just a straight-up propagandist, right? He's trying to sell you Eurasianism. He's trying to sell you Duganism. He's trying to sell you this Russian imperialism, which is anti-white, which is anti-nationalist, which wants to crush the nationalisms of Eastern Europe and exterminate their identities and subsume them into this big melting pot. So they lie, they spin, they twist the information, folks. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, ladies and gentlemen. This guy, Ronaldo Nazzaro, he's the founder of The Base. Remember that fucking LARP? Remember that big fucking LARP, The Base, Adam Waffen? Well, look here. It's tied to Russia, too. This is the guy, American founder of the U.S.-based militant neo-Nazi group The Base, is directing the organization from Russia. Ronaldo, 46, uses the aliases Norman Spear and Roman Wolf, left New York for St. Petersburg less than 2 years ago. The Base has been a focus of the FBI. 7 members were charged with various offenses this month, including conspiracy to commit murder. Court documents prepare The Base as a racially motivated violent extremist group seeks to accelerate the downfall of the U.S. government inside a race war and establish a white ethno-state. Yeah, it just so happens they have like 10 members. They have like 10 members, and they're all like these teenagers who get caught up in sting operations by the FBI. Says Navarro has taken over several years, both in the U.S. and Russia. He's the founder of The Base. Last year, Navarro was listed as a guest at a Russian government security exhibition in Moscow, which focused on the demonstration of the results of state policy and achievements. A video posted on March 2019 shows Navarro in Russia, wearing a t-shirt bearing an image of President Putin along with the words Russia Absolute Power. We traced Nazzaro and his Russian wife to an upmarket property in central St. Petersburg purchased in her name in July 2018, same month to which the FBI dates the creation of The Base. Isn't that a suspicious looking nose right there, folks? Look at this guy. He's got a fucking t-shirt of Putin. He's married to a Russian woman. He lives in Russia. What the fuck's going on here, folks? Records show before moving to Russia, Nazzaro ran a company registered in New York, offers a network of security professionals with expertise in intelligence, counterterrorism, counterinsurgency, and psychological operations. Property records show that an apartment associated with Nazzaro in New Jersey was given as the address for an entity called Base Global when it purchased land in the U.S. state of Washington. He married a Russian woman in Manhattan in 2012. She had moved to the city from her homeland around 4 years earlier, and her CV says she spent time working in a bank. In 2018, when he first began promoting The Base online using the Norman Spear pseudonym, they moved with their children to Russia. He's described as a former CIA field officer, military veteran, defense expert. Well, who's this nigger working for? Is he working for U.S. intelligence? Is he working for Russian intelligence? Is he working for both? Maybe he is. Who the fuck knows, right? But his ties to Russian, his ties to Russia are palpable. Russian wife. He lives in Russia. He's got this fucking shirt of Putin. Well, doesn't this play exactly into what Dugin pushes? Which is the chaos strategy. Fund everything, every side, far left, far right, centrist, anarchist, everything. Fund it all. Support all of it. Promote all of it. As a hedge against the middle. They're just trying to create chaos, aren't they? They're funding it all. They're buying off the left, the right, everything. And really all that these people get out of it is, you know, a little bit of cash. But it's the Putin regime that ends up winning here. They lock up white nationalists in Russia. But then at the same time, they might be funding these LARPers like this fucking loser to cause chaos in Western countries, right? Fund all sides. It's all in your head, though, bro. You're just a schizo, dude. You're just nuts. Dugin has no influence, Goy. Dugin doesn't have any influence whatsoever. You know? He's just tied to these people who are funding suspiciously all these political parties and these groups in the West. And they all of these political parties and all of these groups just happen to have the same talking points, that Putin's your savior, that Eurasianism's good, that we must hate Eastern Europeans and support their slaughter so that the West, so that Biden can be defeated or the EU can be defeated. This is somehow going to bring down our own oppressive governments. That's how they sell it to you. We're going to save you, man. We're going to liberate you, man. Just sign up with Islamo-Eurasianism and Neo-Bolshevism and taking a stiff Bolshevik dick up the ass, a stiff Chechen Islamic dick up the ass, and then you'll be saved, white man. We're going to send those rape hordes in your country to take your women. But it's all good for you, Goy. It's all part of the multipolar world, okay? We're going to save the fucking world here. We're not deceptive. We're not subversive. We didn't call for the genocide of whites and the replacement of whites. You know, Dugin never said that the West is dead, needs to die, and the white race needs to be replaced with Eurasian nomads and Muslims and Chinese. He never said that, man. Or when he did say that, he was just mad, okay? He was just angry. He really loves you, man. Listen to what Richard Spencer said recently.
I just want to point out one more thing, and I'll step away. Back in, I don't know, 16, 17, you were much more based. I'm not trying to troll you or criticize. I've noticed a change in your philosophy, whatever it is. You were pretty anti-American. I mean, I must say, you were pretty anti-American about that. I think you were pro-Russia at that point. Maybe I'm wrong, but you said a lot of crazy, you know, very extreme stuff. So I've seen a change in you, but it seems like you were kind of in that camp then, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to disown anything that I said, because you evolve, you rethink things, you and also they're kind of like inflection points where, you know, it's one thing to, you know, be like, well, we need to get along with Russia. We can't be antagonizing it. And then we re-enter a Cold War scenario and it's like, well, I live here. This is where we are right now. And you can't just be a traitor and just, you know, support a foreign power that is in a geopolitical fight with your own country. And I think I was also wrong, just simply wrong on things. I think I fell into a lot of the traps of the dissident right. I mean, if I'm just brutally honest and self-critical, there's no question that my ex-wife, who is a Russian ultranationalist, had a large effect on that. And I mean, I would add, she had access to my Twitter account in 2017 for a time. She would, 99 out of 100 tweets were me, were written by me. But, you know, she did do some tweets. You can basically easily discern them through just kind of linguistic analysis. But, you know, I don't know that, you know, this, you know, Ukraine is a synthetic country and blah, yeah, all that stuff is her. Now, I'll own it and I'll take the buck stops with me. I'll take responsibility for it. I do have the right to evolve as a person and thinker.
Absolutely. And, I agree with that.
Yeah. And, but like, also I think the facts should be known. And, I mean, I don't know. I guess when you're no longer married to a Russian ultranationalist, you start to rethink things. Brandon, do you want to jump in?
Well, ain't that something, ladies and gentlemen? His ex-wife, her name was Nina Kuprianova, called herself Nina Byzantina. Now, what's so funny about this is that I said this at the time. You can go look at my articles about Spencer. Go on my website, type Spencer. And I wrote all of this. I said all of this. I predicted all of this. I said that Spencer was shilling this Duganite crap because of his wife. That his wife was the one pushing it on him. And he's a vessel of his wife. And he just admitted it. He admitted it. I was totally right. This is her fucking blog right here. Russia, Eurasia, meta, geopolitics. Type in Dugin. She's got a whole ton. She translated Dugin's books. She republished Dugin articles. Igor Strokov, that's that Russian separatist guy that was in eastern Ukraine. Translated by Nina Kuprianova. Yeah, he's hailing that guy as a hero. Yeah, it's just full of Dugin shit. Oh, you're just a schizo, Goy. You're a schizo. You're seeing things. You're a conspiracy theorist. There ain't no connections, man. There's no influence there. Well, Spencer himself has come out and admitted it. That it's all true. That I was right. That's what these people were pushing. And they're still pushing it. And they're still doing it. There's this fucking faggot. This video kind of has a left-wing slant to it, but it covers this Aussie Cossack guy. See, this is a real thing, man. They're paying fucking people to push this shit.
Russia,
this is in Australia.
Russia,
This is a protest recently. Supporting the war. Look who shows up, man. This fucking mongoloid. There he is. Aussie Cossack. Putin tard extraordinaire. Mutt. Mongoloid.
We're here today to support the Russian peacekeepers. If we believe that they are bringing peace,
the Russian
peacekeepers are actually there to liberate
people from fascists.
Last weekend, a group of about 50 people descended on the Russian consulate in Wallara to voice their support for the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Strange speeches propagandizing the invasion of Ukraine as some kind of anti-New World Order movement aimed at liberating the country from the corrupt cabal government installed by the Bidens, Clintons, and neo-Nazis that plagued the country. I got a bit lost myself. The speeches were given next to an oversized image of Vladimir Putin to a diverse crowd that strangely contained a bunch of cookers chanting for the death of Scott Morrison.
Advancing very quickly, very successfully.
And where is that fat cunt Morrison?
Morrison.
What's he saying about it?
Morrison's sending missiles. Morrison's sending missiles.
He's slipping.
We know what Morrison does when there's a crisis. He goes to Hawaii.
He's going on holiday.
But guess what? At the moment, Morrison's got COVID. How many jabs did Morrison have?
Ironically, the crowd even contained a few white nationalists and a member of the neo-Nazi group Golden Dawn. Hang on. Now, why would members of white nationalist groups and neo-Nazis attend an event advocating for the denazification of Ukraine? Well, that's got a lot to do with the organizer of the event, Aussie Cossack, a.k.a. Simeon Boykov.
Because they're fucking paid. Any white nationalist that is going around supporting the denazification of Ukraine is being paid by Russia, okay, to say this. Is being paid by Putin and Dugin to say this, to shill it, to sell it to you. Yeah, man, let's just kill the Nazis. Let's denazify Europe. Let's denazify the world, as long as it helps this Eurasian world order, right?
Simeon showed up LARPing in a camouflage army uniform with Russian flag insignia, which is pretty fucking weird for a man who has never done any service in any army. He also showed up with his car emblazoned with duct tape in the shape of a Z, notoriously seen on some of the Russian armor invading Ukraine, which is quickly becoming seen as the Russian version of a swastika. So, who is Simeon Boykov? Well, if you don't know, I suggest you turn off now, because once you learn, you can't unlearn. Simeon is a pro-Russian nationalist wanker who gained a following protesting COVID restrictions and antagonizing the police over the course of the pandemic.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Aussie Cossack on patrol in Sydney. And as you can see behind me, we have another customer. We have another customer, and this time it appears to be the Eureka flag, which has sparked their overzealous attention.
Nah, I'm not gonna have a door.
Another copper over here.
What for? Why? Now, why you wanna open the door? You had your hand on your gun, and now you want me to open the door. You had your hand on your gun just then.
Now, Simeon doesn't believe any of this crap about fighting the New World Order or denazifying Ukraine. He just knows what buttons to push to ingratiate himself with cooked idiots from the freedom movement so they can get on board with Daddy Vlad and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. How do I know this, you might ask? Well, Simeon has surrounded himself with neo-Nazis for quite some time. On October 28th, 2016, Simeon, like the fucking scumbag he is, attended a fundraiser for the neo-Nazi group Golden Dawn, where he was invited as the head of the Russian Cossack Association of Australia to accept a plaque in recognition of, as Golden Dawn say on their website, our official friendship and alliance with Russian nationalists, and a promise that Golden Dawn holds true to its word that should or when we take power to align the Greek state against the Zionists of Washington and towards our comrades in Moscow. Pretty fucking sad.
Yeah, they want to swap the Zionist in Washington with the Zionist in Moscow, right? They just want to trade masters. They just want a new master, a different master. I can respect a position that said, we don't want to, you know, do the bidding of Washington, but then to trade that in for being a stooge of Moscow. Well, you're an opportunist. You're just looking for a sugar daddy, aren't you? You're not a nationalist. You're not pursuing your own nationalism in your own country, your own independence. You want a sugar daddy. You want some cash, don't you? Golden Dawn.
Simeon claimed when I put this question to him that he was invited to a Greek community Orthodox event, but that's a fucking lie. If it wasn't true, Simeon, with his propensity to sue people for defamation, would have taken Golden Dawn to court like the grifting money vacuum he is. During the pro-Russia rally, a man who goes by the social media handle Baidonius Princeps also confronted Simeon about his links to the Golden Dawn event and given a similar response.
That's okay, yeah, film it, boys, film it. Hello, boys. How we going, everyone? Thank you, brother. So you deplore, Paul Allen, do you deplore neo-Nazi organizations?
Right, please, sir.
Yeah, sure, sure. Do you deplore neo-Nazi organizations? Do you swear on the Australian people?
What are you trying to provocate here?
Well, see, the thing is, you won't even swear on the Australian people, brother.
So this guy is tied to the Golden Dawn in Australia. Let's see that. Wait, let me pull up here.
Adonius Prince, pretty interesting because just...
Guys hanging around with neo-Nazis, pretending to be against...
And this is where it gets pretty interesting because just mere moments after Simeon disavowed neo-Nazis, Baidonius Princeps was approached by a man who opens his jacket, revealing his Golden Dawn shirt.
You are grow up. You are Golden Dawn hanging out with...
This isn't just a once-off because while Simeon was in Canberra for the convoy to Canberra, spreading LRAD conspiracies and encouraging people to ignore lawful orders from police, this man was part of his entourage. That's an awfully big coincidence for someone who attended a Greek Orthodox community event without any knowledge that it was organized by the Golden Dawn neo-Nazis. Maybe this friendship is just a one-off connection that Simeon has to Nazis.
Are they neo-Nazis or are they neo-Eurasianists? I think that would be a better label for these types of people, right? They ain't no neo-Nazis. They're neo-Eurasianists. They're Duganists is what they are. Whatever vague link they have to Nazism or National Socialism has been transplanted with this new LARP ideology of aligning with the Mongolians and the Chinese and the Islamic world to have a little mutt world order, right? Oh, it's a better alternative, going.
Nope. A speaker at the same Greek Orthodox community event. Okay, I guess we can drop the sarcasm now and call it what it fucking is, a neo-Nazi circle jerk. At the same neo-Nazi circle...
Yeah, so the guy commentating is just some gay leftist, right? But I'm just highlighting this to point out the connection here. That guy's tied to Golden Dawn. That guy is an anti-Nazi, supports denazifying Ukraine. And there's an audio clip of him saying that we accuse the Ukrainians of being anti-Semites. That's what we need to be doing. Golden Dawn has ties to Dugin as well. Golden Dawn in Moscow, 2014. We set the foundations for Greek-Russian cooperation. The People's Association, headed by our members, Artemis Mathopoulos, visited Moscow and had extensive talks regarding Russian political and economic factors. This visit marks the formal approach of Hellenism with Orthodox Russia through the People's Association, expressing the will of the Greek people for bilateral relations. This meeting with the Moscow University professor and advisor for Putin discussed geopolitical issues such as energy, international security, and culture. Mr. Dugin discussed developments in Ukraine, political persecution of the Golden Dawn, and geostrategic position of Russia and bilateral relations with Greece. With respect to the possibility of cooperation between the two states, Dugin was very clear and stressed that it is imperative because we share common values of orthodoxy and culture. Greek needs to lead a cultural and geographical empire in the Mediterranean. Dugan believes the destiny of our country is the creation of a new empire. Golden Dawn is a natural ally of Russia. Fighting against American expansionist policies, Russia is perfectly aware. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, so you oppose American expansionist policies, but you support Russian expansionist policies, even if that means white nationalists in Ukraine or Poland or the Baltics getting crushed in the process, even if it means aligning with the Antifa regime of Putin. These people would be arrested in Russia. These people would be crushed in Russia. But they're useful idiots. See, that's how Dugan sees it. They're just useful idiots. He just tries to pull them into his orbit. This is the same Dugan that I pointed out before was meeting with Syriza, the far-left party in Greece, which is the mortal enemies of Golden Dawn. He's playing them all. He's using them all. He's infiltrating them all to pull them into his little Eurasianist orbit and have them do the bidding of this guy right here. To get his little neo-Eurasian empire going on. Let's see this. It's no coincidence, folks, that Golden Dawn is also tied to this guy right here. Eric Stryker. There he is. Golden Dawn, New York. You got the little hobbit himself. Nazbul Putin Shill himself, Eric Stryker. He's always praising Golden Dawn. That's why he's always praising Golden Dawn, right? Because they're fucking useful idiots for Dugan. They're Eurasianists. That's what it is. He's getting funding. He's hosting his meetups at Charles Bosman's fucking barn. The same Bosman with dubious connections to Malefeyev and Russia itself and has $500,000 to buy properties. Oh, well. Something going on here, folks. I'm just asking questions here, man. You know? What's with all these links, these ties? There it is. They're all connected. All right, folks, I'm going to go check the super chats. Give me 1 second if you want to send a super chat. Check in the description there. I'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you for waiting patiently, ladies and gentlemen. We only have 1 super chat here, I think. Oh, we have 2. One of them's from Space Kang. He says, don't read this aloud. Well, I appreciate that, Space Kang. White American Rebel says, thank you, Matador. We would defend you if you were ever doxxed and attacked. Handsome Truth is being attacked by Antifa, harassing his family and home. We need to help striking back against our common enemy. Phil Barber, all info on my Telegram page and HTs, all for one, one for all. Well, thanks for that, White American Rebel. I appreciate that. I didn't know that. I think I saw a couple posts, though, recently. I saw that Arian Bacon was going around doing some activism with a van. I guess HT might be involved in that as well. Damn it. Yeah, I saw they've been doing a lot of leafleting and flyering, and they've been catching the media every time. It never fails, right? Every time you throw a fucking bag filled with leaflets, the news comes right out and reads it out. Perfect. Every time. They're spreading the message for us, aren't they? Yeah, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank y'all in the chat room for sticking around for this one. Very interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, this is kind of the topic of the day. This is the big story. You know, everybody's... I mean, I guess we're going to be focused on this Ukraine-Russia war for a while until it ends. That's all I'm seeing on Telegram these days is people talking about that. So, what are you going to do? But, yeah, there's certainly some dubious shit going on. I mean, you've seen these people come out of the woodwork supporting the bombing of our kin. And they all just happen to have these weird ties to that country, right? They all just happen to have these strange little links, either directly to the country or to Dugin, that whole scene. And they, of course, vehemently deny it. Nothing to see here, Goy. Nothing to see here. We're not pushing an agenda. Okay, we just agree with everything he says. We just speak in his language. We just push that narrative and talking points 24/7 on our channels and turn them into propaganda bullhorns for that side. But we just have a legitimate opinion, man. No. These are the same fucking faggots that shill their asses off for Muslims and Palestinians and Arabs and tell people to go die and be human meat shields for the Arabs, man. But at the same time, they support the killings of our people in Ukraine. They slander and smear white nationalists in that country. You've seen them all do it, man. They're being paid. They're being fucking paid to do it. Yeah. Somebody's got to tell the truth, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good stream. Thank y'all for tuning in. I'm going to end the stream now. I appreciate y'all. It's been White Power Wednesday. I will catch you again on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening. Hit the damn gym. White fucking power, folks.